So let's go to the scriptures, into the scriptures, and I would like to ask you to open with me Bibles and prepare the Bibles, and we'll go and we'll see some interesting places in scriptures here. So I would like for you to open Leviticus chapter 23. But before, I would like to say a few words about this parsha, Torah parsha. So today's Torah parsha speak Emor, Leviticus from chapter 21 to chapter 24. It's a powerful, beautiful Torah portion. It has so much meaning in it. So many interesting subjects there. And thank you, Brian, for sharing this in the morning, the beginning of the service. It is so deep, so many good thoughts there, so many good thoughts. I believe that every believer should be careful when you're reading this place, because it's so rich for us. Today we are living in some remarkable times. These days, these are days when the Lord is restoring the tabernacle of David. This is the prophetic days, prophetic time. And many people ask this question: how can we recover that which has been broken and lost over the generations? What to do? We miss so many things. We have to work so much about so many things in our lives. And this is not a mystery. I don't want to hurt feeling today, but this is true. The Christian religion has strayed far away from its biblical Jewish roots. This is not a mystery. You will hardly hear anything about Jewishness in main churches around the world. And at the same time, much of Judaism has strayed far from biblical faith. Faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, focusing instead on Jewish traditions and rituals. So two different approaches about the same thing in the scriptures. So how can we recover that which has been lost? And we find one of the great answers in today's Torah portion. So this is why important to read it and be careful with it. So with this in mind, I would like to read the first verse in the chapter 23 of Leviticus. And please follow me, check my reading, so you will not say that he did some mistake. You will be sure this is your eyes reading this here. So the verse 1, then Adonai spoke to Moses saying, so I would like to stop here. So I would like to paint the picture here. So the Jewish people in wilderness walking there, and it's, you know, it's boring. Wilderness, nothing to do. So they came together around Moses and they said, let's do something. Because we are boring here, wilderness, you know, so many years, it's tiring and nothing new. And they came up with the holidays. Fun thing, you know how it's about Jewish holidays. The Lord led us out of Egypt, so let's eat. Do we have the same Bible or not? No. I'm joking, of course. It said here, then Adonai spoke to Moses. This is not Moses discussing with Adonai. This is not Jewish people deciding what they will celebrate, what kind of holidays that they will have. The Lord is clear. He gives his command to Moses and to all the Jewish. which you are to proclaim to be holy convocations, or mikra, the word mikra. My feast. Let's say together, my feast. You know, it's possible for me to stop here, because this is everything here. My feast. The Lord is saying to us. Place and time of the meeting cannot be changed, because this is His Moedim. And firstly, I would like to pay attention here. Nowhere in Scripture are these appointed times called Jewish holidays. I don't see it here. After all, it is the Lord, not the Jews, who scheduled the appointments, so they are His holidays. And they are given to our nation, to the Jewish people, first. But it's not only for our nation. I believe they have value for every nation in the world, every person in the world, because they are His holidays. The Lord describes His holidays in two words in here, in the second verse of Leviticus chapter 23. The first word in Jewish, in Hebrew, moed. The second word, mikra. The word moed, it said here, these are the appointed moedim, moed. This word moed has a number of meanings that are more appropriate for describing a business meeting than a holiday. It's very important to remember. Because it means appointed time. Let's say together, appointed time. So he said, I appoint you time, my moedim. Also due date, scheduled meeting, designated place, or meeting place. Interesting. It's a different approach for every one of us. So what I would like to say, He is the King. He set the time. He puts the clock watch for all of us. Thank you so much. Yes. And we are to arrive on time to meet with Him. So the Most High clearly set the special times when the sons of Israel should come before Him. So this is His commandments. Also, it can be said another way, and I would like to say this differently. God's holidays are the official days of reception, the dates on which humanity is to check its position in time, because it's prophetic time. And I believe, it's my opinion, we do not have the right to ignore what the Lord has established forever. This is not up to us, because He established it forever. Yeah, and if you will find anywhere in the Scriptures that it's enough, we are living in the new time, we don't need to celebrate anything, just show me after the service, don't scream at me now, okay? Maybe you have wrong translation. We need to look carefully. And the second word describing the holiday, mikra, convocation, has the meaning of assembly or convocation or reading out loud. And I believe, it's my opinion, these two words speak about checking the state of person who is to come to the Lord on this appointed time. This is a special moment, appointed time for us to come to the Lord so He will check our hearts. He will look inside of us. He will show us who are we before Him. At this time, the Most High calls us to test our hearts for joyful service to Him. And one of the beautiful psalms in the Scriptures, really, this is the approach for our hearts. How can we come to the Lord in front of Him? This is the Psalm number 100. Please look with me. And I would like to read differently. So first time, I will read like this. Shout joyful to Adonai, all the earth. So many of us come into the Lord with such approach. So joyful to Adonai. What to do? Let's shout. Shout joyful to Adonai, all the earth. Serve Adonai with gladness. Come before his presence with joyful singing. Know that Adonai, knowledge of Adonai leading you to the joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord and knowledge of Adonai is the same, because in his presence is abundance of joy. He is creator of the universe. Know that Adonai, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise him. Bless his name. For Adonai is good. His loving kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's say together, his faithfulness to all generations. When I'm thinking about holidays, I believe there are most vivid memories and impressions that we preserve from childhood. Those memories remain us throughout our lives, with us throughout our lives, and influence that we pass on to the next generation. And our remembrance of the Jewish history, ancient history, connects us with our ancestors, our generations together. The rabbis explaining the meaning of the biblical Jewish holidays said that beside the fact that God reveals his will and himself through them, their heart, essence of Jewish biblical holidays is to relive them again and again every year. We call to not only to remember past history of our people, but we call to relive it every year of our life, in our lives. This is the heart of the holidays. And it's beautiful because every Jewish holiday speaks about God's love to us, his mercy, his plan of salvation, his presence for us in our lives. So the main theme of all biblical Jewish holidays is future salvation and deliverance. So in the few words, I want to show the main prophetic meaning of the biblical Jewish holidays. And I don't want to go too much because we will not have time today and tomorrow. We can spend weeks and weeks to describing the high holidays. But I would like to show a few most important meanings here. Because this is the dial by which all the humanity lives. This is the clock of the universe, Jewish biblical holidays. So the first, chapter 23, I want to read, I just mentioned them. First, Shabbat. Sometimes people are skipping Shabbat and going to Pesach. But the first holiday is Shabbat. And I would like to say that Shabbat has a great meaning. I know some people saying to me, like telling me that I don't have Shabbat, I have Shabbat every day. Come on. You're lazy people. I don't have time for Shabbat every day. Though I know that Yeshua is my Shabbat every day for me. But still, I have Shabbat for him. He creates Shabbat for me to have fellowship with him. Shabbat prophetically points on peace with the Lord. And Yeshua, he is our peace. We have forgiveness and mercy and free way to the Lord, to Father, through Yeshua, who is our Shabbat. It's so beautiful. Everything starts with Shabbat. If you will read the building of tabernacle of David, of Moses, the first commandment, before anything, Moses the Lord speaking to Moses, keep my Shabbat, and then you are to build my tabernacle. We need to have his Shabbat, his peace in our hearts. So the second high holidays, Pesach or Passover, this is the time of Exodus from Egypt through the seven blood of the sacrificial lamb. And we know the story of Pesach. The Lord saved our people through the blood of innocent animal. And this is the prophetic picture of the death and resurrection of Yeshua. He died for us. And by faith, we are putting his blood on the doorposts of our hearts. Because this is the time of our salvation. This is our salvation. He is our salvation. And he is leading us out of Egypt, of our hearts, of our lives. And, you know, I have many years of my ministry, but I never saw anyone who has complete freedom in life. Never. We all have something that we want to give to the Lord. Every one of us. And this is Pesach. He is our Pesach because he leading us to his freedom. And this is the process for all our life. Until the last moment, we are following him in our obedience because he is our Pesach. The second holiday is holiday of unleavened bread. And this is the first fruit for the Lord. And you know, Yeshua, he rose from the dead. This is first fruit. Fruit of resurrection, eternal life to all of us. The next high holiday is beautiful. We are entering this time, Shavuot, Pentecost. In Jewish tradition, it was the day when the tablets were given on Sinai. It is a harvest festival in Israel. It was the time when the priest shook the offering of sheaves before the face of the Lord. The special moment, special time. And, you know, prophetic picture of something what's happened already 2,000 years ago. And you know what happened there. Holy Spirit descend on the children of God, on the first Talmidim of Yeshua, on the apostles in Jerusalem. It was specific day, time of Shavuot. And miracle happened. It was the birth of the first messianic community on this earth. First fruits for the Lord. Fruits of resurrection before the face of the Lord. I believe it's a beautiful picture here for all of us. So these are Maadim that we observe in the springtime. And these spring feasts are observation of prophetic events that were fulfilled thousands of years ago. Why? And also, I have a question. For those who think that holidays are not important, please think about it. Why they are important to the Lord? What's the reason so they're important for the Lord? Because Yeshua was crucified on Pesach. Let's say together, Pesach. Not during the summertime, not during the wintertime. It was exactly on Pesach. Something important in it. He resurrected on the time on unleavened bread. It's beautiful. Holy Spirit descended on Shavuot in Jerusalem. Why not during the summertime or summer break? Children out of school during the summer. More people. No, the Lord's timing. His watch, he's going, he posts these times as a holy convocations, as a holy time, time of meeting with him. Lord descended into the hearts of people. He wrote his Torah, his instruction on their hearts. And I will go to three final Maadim, are called the fall feasts. And we haven't yet seen their prophetic fulfillment because this is for future. We are living in the time period between spring Moedim and fall Moedim. This is the last times when we are expected the Lord to come again for us. So Rosh Hashanah, this is the first fall festival. The festival of the shofar blast, and also we know it, head of the year, beginning of everything, new creation. And also this is the beginning of the days of judgment, 10 days of judgment. All of this in the Rosh Hashanah, shofar blast. And I know that so many things we can say here, but the prophetic feast will be fulfilled when Yeshua comes to this earth a second time as a judge and king with the sound of shofars and heavenly trumpets. And if you will ask me when Yeshua is coming, I will tell you, I don't know what year, but during the Rosh Hashanah. And you better to be on the service. I think so. It's my opinion. I believe service is the best place to go with him. No, I mean, I tell you yesterday, you can play golf, but take with you shofar, please. You don't want to be late, yeah? We had a story, it's not my message, but once we canceled our meeting in Nikolaev in Ukraine many years ago, and we tell everyone, but one lady, she missed the announcement. So she came and nobody there. And she was, you know, young believer, and she was so sincere, so she started crying. Because she thought she missed everyone. It was fun for us, yeah, of course. Fun memory. So you better be on Rosh Hashanah here. So the next high holiday, Yom Kippur, points us to the coming judgment of God over all the nations of the earth. It will be at this time that every person who lived on earth will receive a sentence corresponding to his deeds and his life. This is the most fearful and most holy day in whole Jewish calendar. And I believe it's two mixed feelings here. One, this is the fear of God. We all should come to the Lord as the king, as the ruler. Some people are thinking about him only as a friend or somebody who make them feel good, you know, and tickle me, please, Lord, or mickle me. Please, first of all, he is the king. Come on. Something here. So this is the time of judgment for those who have lived a life without faith, eternal torment. Fearful day. Fearful, scary day of fear. And for those who are righteous and who are redeemed by the sacrifice of Yeshua, it will be the day of joy. Joy of salvation, eternal justification, and mercy of the Lord. It's mixed feeling here in Yom Kippur. And the last holiday of Sukkot, in which all people are commanded to live 7 days in the tents. And can you imagine this picture? Every Jew who walked in the desert with Moses were able to see through their roof the presence of the Lord in the midst of Israel. So how can you not believe in the Lord if he's there? just raise your head and look. Today the same, just open your eyes and you will see his presence, his love. If you want to see Yeshua, just open your eyes, clear your heart, open scriptures and you will find him. It is very hard to be an unbeliever in Yeshua during this prophetic messianic era. So, this prophetically points us into the presence of the Lord. And I don't want to go deeply here, but I would like to read from the book of Revelation, chapter 21 from the verse 3. I also heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is among them, and he shall tabernacle among them." Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. "They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them, and be their God. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Nor shall be the mourning, or crying, or pain any longer, for the former things have passed away." We are waiting for this moment. For this moment to be with the Lord forever. So this was the brief summary of the Leviticus 23. But I would like to remind something very important here. Torah doesn't have chapters. You will not find in Torah chapter 23, 22, because it is the scroll. And sometimes we are making mistake when we are reading from chapter to chapter and we stay in there. Always you need to read verses before and later, because it will give you whole picture. And I would like to look a few verses before in the chapter 22, the last verses of the chapter 22, because this is our part. So the Lord set appointment times, Moadim, and he is expecting us to come during these special moments of our lives. And the question, with what heart? In what condition we are to come before him? So I would like to read it a few verses. It's from the verse 31, chapter 22. "So you are to keep my mitzvot and do them." Let's say together, keep and do. What are their meaning in English? What does it mean, keep? What does it mean, do? It's like, come here. You remember the story of Jonah? The Lord told him, "Yes, Lord." And goes to another direction. Keep and do. I mean, two simple but so strong words. You are to keep my mitzvot and do them. I am Adonai. And this is the great statement. It's not the question. Why? Keep and do. Why? Because I am Adonai. Do you have any answers or any questions here? Why, Lord? I am Adonai. Do them. I have the right to tell you to do what to do. You must not profane my holy name. And this is so strong here. You must not profane my holy name. Because our disobedience, it's painful for the Lord. It is not right. For I will be made holy among Bnei Israel. I am Adonai who makes you holy. It's not by our power. He makes us holy. When? When we keep and do. Who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am Adonai. So this is one of the most revealing and demanding places from the Torah. Keep and do. I am Adonai. I'm telling you what to do. And I believe, this is my true faith to believe, even if the whole world goes crazy, our task is to praise him in everything. And first of all, with our lives and our behavior. This is our heart. With which we can come to the Lord. And Leviticus chapter 21, verse 17. Briefly, I would like to read a few places of scripture here. "Say to Aaron, none of your offspring throughout their generations who has a defect may approach to offer the food of his God." Defect. And I believe this is the deep spiritual meaning for all of us today who lives in these days. Spiritual meaning. I like these words from the Matthew chapter 5, 48. Therefore, be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So let's say with me, be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Of course, when we were called, we were sinners. Our souls are wounded and disfigured by our sinfulness. This is not a question. There is not a single person on earth who is perfect and clean. And if somebody is here perfect and clean, keep it secretly. Tell me after the service. We all need God's mercy. All of us, we have special rooms in our hearts that should be really touched by the Lord. And I would like to young generation, David, Javier, to remember these things, okay? Can you listen to me, please, and turn your phones? Thank you so much. Because He is making us holy. He is changing our lives. We need His mercy. Without Him, it's impossible to change our hearts. And I like the place of Scripture when Yeshua told us, He is standing in front of our doors and He is knocking. He will never open our doors without our permission. He gave the keys to us. We have a key. We are key holders. And it says here, everyone who will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will be with him. I believe this is our task, to listen to his voice and open our heart, because he wants to cleanse us, makes us different, change our lives. So I would like to read one more time this place in Scripture, the Matthew 5:48. Therefore be perfect, and I like the Greek word teleos. Perfect it in Greek teleos. Just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So what does it mean to be perfect? How can we be perfect if we are sinful? The most beautiful explanation of the word perfect is in the writings of Paul, Philippians 3, 12 and 15. And I would like to read from the verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or been perfected, but I press on, if only I might take hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua took hold of me. Verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as having taken hold of this, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal for the reward of the upward calling of God and Messiah Yeshua. Therefore, let all who are mature, and word mature here, teleos, have this attitude. And if you have a different attitude in anything, this also God will reveal to you. So the same word teleos, to be perfect, and the same word teleos, to be mature. This was the Apostle Paul's definition of the word perfect. The perfect person is not a person who is sinless. He may slip and fall, but he immediately gets up and seeks forgiveness. He continually strives for the knowledge of Yeshua, and above everything else, he loves the presence of the Lord and the Lord's purpose of his life. This is the word perfect, teleos. Pushing forward, press on to the Lord. Prepare your heart to seek the Lord. And today so many people are looking for so many things. But the main important thing for us is to know Yeshua, His resurrection, His mercy, His gifts in our lives. So I would like to, I'm coming to one of the ends of my message. It's not yet. But I would like to read from the Leviticus 22, from the verse 20. Because this is the same idea, how to come to the Lord. But whatever has a blemish, you are not to present, for it will not be acceptable on your behalf. So the blind, injured, and you know, all this kind of sacrifice, don't bring to the Lord. This is not for the Lord. They are not to be offered to Adonai or given as an offering by fire on the altar of Adonai. This is not a secret that our spiritual growth depends on whether we serve with our gifts or not. Because if we want to grow spiritually, the main task for us is to serve the Lord with our lives. This is the way to mature, to be perfect. And reading the scriptures, we see that every little thing is important to the Lord. He accepts the best, let's say together, the best, the first fruits of our life. Not that left in the end, you know. Sometimes we do everything we want, and what is left, okay, Lord, choose what you want. It's the different approach. The first for the Lord, the best for him, and the rest of yours. He is perfect, Lord, and therefore accept the perfect sacrifice. We are to serve with an attitude of submission and obedience, and with gratitude and joy. And you know this wonderful, beautiful song, Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha, bo lifano birnana. And I know that our youth, they can do that perfectly. Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha, bo lifano birnana. This is the words of Psalm 100. Serve Adonai with gladness. Come before his presence with joyful singing. Know that Adonai, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise him. Bless his name. For Adonai is good. His loving kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So, do you want to have and to know the keys from the God's heart? Do you know to have abundance in your life? Do you want to have breakthrough in your life? Do you want to receive prayers on your prayer? Answers on your prayers? It's very simple, but so important. Serve Adonai. How? Serve with gladness. I mean, not with sorrow, with gladness. Come to Adonai with joyful singing. Enter his presence with thanksgiving. He is the king. Come to him with praise. And in everything, bless his name. This thing should become a biggest part of our life. Not anymore of grumbling, fears, worries. It's a lot of that. But this is the keys to be successful, to be blessed by the Lord. Serving the Lord is not a burden, not a favor to God. Lord doesn't want your favor. Like, give me a favor. Can you serve here? No. To serve to Adonai, this is the honor, privilege, and the meaning of our life. And if you want like to have meaning in your life, this is the meaning, serving of Adonai. You remember when the Lord called people out of Egypt, he said, I want you to serve me. This is the purpose. I'm leading you out of Egypt. Serve me. Therefore, we cannot serve carelessly, because everything we do is for the Lord. That is why before God gave instructions about the feast of the Lord, before talking about days when the Israelites came into the Lord's presence in the temple, he gives clear instruction regarding how they should come and how their hearts should be prepared. Amen. I want to finish here, and I would like to pray for all of us here so that our hearts will be ready, prepared to serve him with joy, with gladness, with thanksgiving. We need to substitute our fears with thanksgiving. We need to substitute our grumbling, our daily routine life with the life full of his presence, His joy, His mercy, with everything thanksgiving. Lord, thank you so much for opportunity, for honor and honor to be in this place, Lord. Thank you for great blessing for all of us. Thank you for opportunity, Lord, to serve you. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us this beautiful place, Lord. Thank you that you gave us these beautiful people around us, Lord. Your body, your congregation, Lord. We thank you for everything, Lord. Please bless us, Lord, and fill our hearts with joy, Lord, with thanksgiving, Lord. Help us to follow you with all our hearts, not with the part, but with all, Lord. Help us to give you the best, Lord, the best of our lives. Thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for this moment, Lord. Thank you for this Shabbat. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen. Amen. So let's stand together and let's finish our service with the Aaronic benediction. It's our tradition to hold each other. So if somebody will go to sleep, I mean, you will you can help him to stay strong. Actually, this good tradition, it's we are in unity with each other, helping each other to stay still strong. Yevrech Adonai veishmerecha Yaher Adonai panavelecha vichunecha Issa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Shabbat shalom. And please don't forget, we have children, Shabbat school. Pick them and we'll have